Number 5. Doctrinal error example, blatant sin. Early on in the book I listed several blatant sins, but I want to focus on two of these that are very controversial in our society today, homosexuality and abortion. I want to deal with homosexuality first. There are many who have crept into the church that condone homosexuality. There are many who say that homosexuals are born that way. What does the Word of Almighty God have to say about it? Let us start with the passage in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves that penalty of their error which was the consequence. 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not appropriate. 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, bad character, secret slanderers, 30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, 31. Without understandings, covenant breakers, without natural affection, traceless, unmerciful, 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but approve of them that do them. Notice what was said in verses 26 and 27, men having sex with men, and women having sex with women, which is against nature. It uses the words vile affections or disgraceful affections. Are we to compromise what the Holy Bible teaches here? Of course not. We are to hold to and teach these things, as they are related to us. To do otherwise is scandalous. The church must not compromise the idea that Almighty God hates sin. He never gives a wink and a nod excusing evil. He is a God of justice, but He grants mercy to those who have a change of heart. The second blatant sin I want to talk about is abortion. Even if you could somehow say that there are some exceptions, such as rape, incest, or self-defense for the life of the mother, abortion in generally speaking is the taking of human life. It is also the premeditated taking of a human life. Notice this passage in Exodus chapter 21, and starting in verse 22, if man strive, and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Of course this passage is in the Old Testament, and there are parts that some might take issue with in this modern day. However, whatever you believe about those matters, it does not change the simple fact that the Almighty views this woman's fruit of the womb as a life. There are many that consider this fruit of the womb as simply a fetus, and that this somehow justifies getting rid of it, if the pregnant mother so chooses. The United States government considers it lawful to abort the fruit of the womb, but Almighty God considers it the taking of a life. Notice in Exodus chapter 21, and verse 23, the fruit of the womb that has departed is viewed as a life, and should the violently induced birth of the unborn child result in the death of the infant, then the two men fighting, that hurt the mother and her unborn baby in this fashion, are responsible of a capital crime punishable by death. This brings us to an understanding of how Almighty God views the fruit of the womb as an unborn human. He views the death of this unborn infant as a violation of the sixth commandment, "You shall do no murder." The church must not participate in the evil of abortion that our secular government condones as lawful. There are professing Christians who who condone the practice of abortion, and they do so at the eternal peril of their own soul. There is no amount of manipulating the scriptures that can justify the general practice of abortion. Notice this passage in Ezekiel chapter 9, and starting in verse 1, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink torn by his side, and they went in, and stood by the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink torn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, Go you after him through the city, and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids, and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they begin at the ancient men, which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain, go you forth. And they went forth, and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face, and cried, and said, Ah, Lord God! Will you destroy all the residue of Israel in your pouring out of your fury upon Jerusalem? Then he said unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness, for they say the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And, behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the ink torn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. Whatever you may wish to say about various parts of this passage, it is abundantly plain that Almighty God hates sin. The people of Israel and Judah had blatantly committed abomination. The land was full of blood, approximately 50 million aborted infants in the United States plus conventional murder. The city was full of perverseness, homosexuality in the United States. It is clear from this passage that once sin has gone unchecked for a long time, eventually the Almighty's patience wears thin. I am thankful that His mercy is so long-suffering. There is a point where a nation crosses the line, and there no longer remains a remedy. This passage is an example of that. The Almighty in this particular case only had mercy on the men who sighed and cried for all the abominations done there. Question. Do you sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land, or is your conscience seared to the point that you have become desensitized to the things that Almighty God is disgusted with? Do the things that disgust Almighty God no longer disgust you? This is an extremely important question. I do not know at what point the United States will cross the line to having no remedy, but we are playing with fire. The point I am making here is that some churches have come to the place of compromising with sin and sinners. We have increasingly become afraid of preaching against wickedness. Many teach a doctrine of tolerance to the point of tolerating sin. We need to be wise enough to rightly divide the word of truth, so that we do not go away from the timeless, changeless standards laid down by Almighty God in the Holy Bible. If and when you attend a church that compromises with blatant sin, you must have the courage to take them to task over this in the spirit of love. A God-fearing man or woman hates sin. Of course, we must love the sinner, but we must hate their sin and never change on this position, for this is pleasing to the great Creator. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, read this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, if they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the earth. This word spirit can also mean spiritual or spiritually. We are not to trust every spiritual thing. We are to try every spirit or spiritual thing. The word try means test, discern, or examine. We are to examine doctrines and every spiritual thing, to see if it is of Almighty God. This is a possible task, because we have the Holy Bible and we have the Holy Spirit. Christ said that, when the Holy Spirit was come, that He would guide us into all truth. We must pray, we must diligently seek, we must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Christ speaking to the scribes and Pharisees said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is not truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Satan is a deceiver. He does not have the authority to do anything he wishes to do to people. He goes about using lies and deception. He is the master of deception and he is really good at it. This is why the Almighty warns us to test spiritual things. I guarantee you that you will be fooled if you do not test spiritual things. Many things look true because they are mixed with truth. When Satan tempted Christ to leap from the pinnacle of the temple, he quoted Psalms 91, as we mentioned only a moment ago. It really was a temptation. Satan was apparently tempting Christ to show off in front of the people, to demonstrate who he was, and Satan mixed enough truth with the temptation to make it seem viable. Satan also showed Christ all the kingdoms of the world, and said he would give them to Christ, if Christ would only bow down to him. It was a tough temptation, because as Satan said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, "All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it." This word delivered means to surrender. Apparently Adam surrendered control of the earth to Satan, by giving into Satan's deception in the Garden of Eden. Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 is referred to as the god of this world. That is with a little g, but it is clear that Satan has gained control of the world. Do you see how tempting it was to Christ to gain back control of the earth simply by bowing to Satan? Christ refused Satan, but it nevertheless was a strong temptation. Satan mixes some truth with what he says, and thereby presents to us a strong delusion that seems true. If you do not test or examine spiritual things, you will fall prey to unsound doctrine. I am sure that there have been some fine well-meaning people who have developed doctrine with all the knowledge they had on a certain subject. Because they did not know the rest of Scripture that pertained to the subject matter, they wound up having only part of the truth. Unfortunately, when these doctrines are enshrined into a denominational organization, it is virtually impossible to ever correct them. Satan has succeeded in dividing the church into sects, and he has shrewdly used the arrangement of formal man-made organizations, such as associations and 501c3 not-for-profit corporations, to galvanize these divisions. He further solidifies these divides by entangling each with a little unsound doctrine, mixed with enough truth to keep them fighting with each other. Do you see the grave consequences of such a deception? Satan by division has hindered us from becoming the glorious church of power that Almighty God desires. We His people need to rub our eyes with His eye salve, so that the eyes for understanding may be opened, and so that we can rise up and conquer for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. The more we lay aside our petty differences, the more we qualify ourselves to have access to His great power. The Almighty wants to grant His people access through godly unity.